Greetings again, my dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the human family, my dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. This is thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program. This is for the recording date of Sunday, June the 9th, 2013. Rastafari always talk about the new name of Jesus Christ. They always talk about Rastafari, Haile I, Selassie I, as the new names of Jesus Christ. Continuing to set this up, Bob Marley again, 1979. Rare interview, it says on Google Videos. Bob Marley talking to a Caucasian brother about the coming of Christ, saying that it is said that within 2,000 years, Christ would come again, and he would be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, conquering lion of the tribe of Judah. He says, Bob Marley, that Haile I Selassie I is Jesus Christ. Him is God. God and Jesus Christ being synonymous, identifying Haile Selassie as Christ come again in human flesh. And then Bob says, we're not talking about the worship of flesh, the worship of a man. He said the teaching is the God. The teaching that Haile I Selassie I gave to humanity, that is what we're getting at. The teaching is God, and we want to get into some of those teachings. And Bob Marley began to quote some of the speech war that he put into music called War, the speech given by Emperor Haile I Selassie I in 1963 at the United Nations. And we want to get into all of that, but setting it up is not a matter of worshiping flesh. It's not a matter of worshiping a man, but it is a matter of seeing the power of the Most High operating in human flesh, operating in man and woman, operating in male and female, operating in the sacred masculine and the sacred feminine. Let's go over some history, because as I kept meditating on this, coming to this portion of the preaching and the message, my brain began to expand and give a narrative leading up to Haile I Selassie I as the example for you and me. So, in Genesis, we want to run some history down. In Genesis, we see that the first nation mentioned is Ethiopia. Ethiopia, the oldest nation on the planet. Now, we know that Ethiopia is coming from Aethiops, a word from the Greek language, which means black. Describing the people that inhabited Ethiopia, black people with curly hair, nappy hair, tight hair. Other scholars, European scholars like Herodotus and Philo, and I think Titus or Tatullus. These European scholars, some of them Greek, they always described the Ethiopian people as African, as black, and also described the Hebrews as Ethiopian and black, and described India as Eastern Ethiopia. So we have the whole region covered, knowing also that the black man and woman are the first on the whole of the planet Earth, and knowing that the Earth is billions of years, I believe 4 billion years old, not no 12,000 years old, lies told by the European scholars, lies told by European Gentile and European Gentile Christian and European Gentile Jews who hold us down to 6,000 years or 12,000 years, which only describes their portion and time of rule on this planet, but does not describe the age of the earth and does not describe the age of the black man and woman. Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that when you find the beginning of the black man and woman, you will find the beginning of Allah. Well, that beginning is never to be found, for Allah is eternal. So our birth is with the Most High. But Ethiopia, now in the African Hebrew language, the word Cush is the word used for Ethiopia. And Cush in the African Hebrew language means black and their blackness. We know that Ethiopia is the root, and we know that Nubia is another word used to describe the ancient original people. We know that the Dogon tribe, that word Dogon is used to describe the ancient peoples. And we know that the word Twa is used to describe that ancient peoples. I cite the work of Ashra Kwesi, A-S-H-R-A, Kwesi is spelled K-W-E-S-I. The Spiritual Concepts, Part 1 and 2 of Africa, the Judaism, Stolen Religion of Africa, Part 1 and 2, and Christianity, Stolen Religion from Africa, Parts 1 and 2. We know that Ethiopia, Africa, the root of religion, the root of science and philosophy, everything that we have today comes out of Ethiopia and even beyond Ethiopia on down into the Congo and the Twa. We cite the work of Dr. Ben Yakinen, lovingly called Dr. Ben. He cites Ethiopia as being the mother and the father of Egypt Kemet, the root of Egypt Kemet. But the European scholars do not want to give credit to Ethiopia because they want to give fictitious narrative and hold Egypt out as being separate from Ethiopia so they can control the information coming out of Egypt that we called ourselves Kemet. That's the word for Egypt, Kemet. That's what the Africans called themselves and their nation, Kemet. And so Ethiopia is the mother and father of Egypt, Kemet. And we have in the book of Amos, chapter 9 and verse 7, that, giving a paraphrase, it says that the children of Israel are as the children of Ethiopia to the Most High. So in that scripture, we see that Israel, or the Hebrews, are Ethiopian and also the children of Ethiopia. So we have Israel, or the Hebrews, the ancient African Hebrews, are the same peoples as the Kemet, Egypt, and the both of these are the children of Ethiopia. We are giving a detailed background leading up to Haile Selassie I of Ethiopia. In the book of Acts, we see the narrative of Apostle Philip, one of the disciples, those that were taught by the original, one of those taught by the original 11. Philip, he is now a teacher of Christ as a revolutionary. See, we don't understand the religion. Original Christianity is a revolution. Original Christianity is fulfillment of the covenant. The covenant and the Ark of the Covenant and the promises of the Most High to deliver the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed from all oppression, fulfilling the real Sabbath, which is exemption from all warfare and bloodshed, and the return of the land, the wealth, and the resources back into the hands of the original owners and back into the hands of all of the oppressed peoples, and the relief and eradication of all slavery and all debt slavery. Philip is teaching this reality. And he comes across an Ethiopian eunuch who was a worker on behalf of Candace. This was one of the titles of the Ethiopian queen mothers. You see, there was respect to the women and respect to the sacred feminine. And women oftentimes rose up to be rulers. You have that in the Hebrew, African Hebrew history under Deborah. Deborah was a queen mother prophetess who ruled the ancient African Hebrew Israelite nation. Well, here we have Candace in Ethiopia, one of the queen mothers who ruled Ethiopia. So one of her treasurers, an Ethiopian eunuch, black man, African brother, is riding, I think he's riding away home, going back home to Ethiopia from having worshipped in Jerusalem. And so Philip comes across this brother, and the Ethiopian eunuch is reading out of the book of Isaiah about the African revolutionary Hebrew Messiah, Jesus the Christ, Yahushua HaMashiach. And he is having trouble understanding what he is reading. So the African Hebrew brother Philip volunteers to explain the scriptures to the Ethiopian eunuch. After giving wonderful dissertation on the African Hebrew revolutionary Messiah, Jesus the Christ, Yahushua HaMashiach, the Ethiopian eunuch says, wow, I understand this now. And asks, can he be baptized by Philip? And they run across a body of water. And Philip says, yeah, sure, let's go down here and administer this baptism. Now, this baptism is an African symbolic ritual that symbolizes rejection of Satan's wicked world of oppression, death, hell, and destruction, warfare, bloodshed, colonialism, and slavery. It represents rejecting all of that wickedness, dying to all of that wickedness, symbolized by going down into the water. Water is life. Water is that basic element. See, all of this is science. All of this is causing us to understand scientific reality and the study of the scientific study of the material universe to come to understand peace and love and righteousness and existence and life. Water is one of the four basic elements: earth, air, fire, and water. Earth was called Neb in Kemet. Fire was called Ra. Water was called Nut. And wind was called Shu. And Nut was feminine. And Shu, I think Shu was masculine, I believe. Ra is masculine. And Neb is masculine. But water, Nut. And water reflected the universe as water. And so Nut, that universal water and birth chamber, symbolized by the earthly water that you go down into when you are baptized, you're born again. You go down into Nut, the Holy Spirit. You go down into Mother Holy Spirit. You're reborn through Mother Holy Spirit, the water, the Nut, the water, the womb for birth, rebirth, and resurrection, and you come up out of that water, reborn, renewed, regenerated as not just a human being, but a god and a goddess, depending on your gender, on this earth. You see, in the ancient days, there was also an obelisk called a tek or a tekken that represented the male organ or represented the sacred masculine. And so the water represents the sacred feminine. And so the sacred masculine and the sacred feminine coming together to give birth and give existence and life, giving birth to existence and life, that we may now trod this earth as a full and complete God and Goddess, child of the Most High, teaching sisters and brothers this truth, that we may raise the human family up. Bob Marley was asked, how do you become a Rasta? Bob Marley said, you must be born again. This teaching that causes birth, rebirth, and resurrection. Now, the scholars, they are perplexed at this Ethiopian eunuch having free access to Jerusalem and the temple, saying, what is this black man, African Ethiopian, doing hanging out with the Jews? We just read the scripture. The Hebrews and the Egyptians, or Kemet, are the children of Ethiopia. Ethiopia gave birth to all that we see in Egypt, Kemet, and all that we see in the ancient African Hebrew Israelite nation. So the brother had a problem understanding individually the teachings, but the teachings are from Ethiopia. This is a brother helping a brother, raising up a brother in the knowledge and wisdom that came from Ethiopia, so that we may all be together. Does not the scripture say in Isaiah 19 that a highway will be, I believe it says, between Ethiopia and Egypt? It says the language of Canaan, meaning the language of the Hebrew, and you see Canaan becoming synonymous with the African Hebrews and the African Kemet Egypt and the African Ethiopian, a highway from Ethiopia to Egypt, and we on that highway will be speaking the language of Canaan, meaning the language of peace and truth and justice and righteousness. So when we do our study, we don't see this as being strange at all. We see it as quite natural that the African Ethiopian brother, being a righteous man and trying his best to be a righteous man, would go and worship the Most High at Jerusalem. So, we understand these realities. Now look, as we come out of the scripture into the time of AD, we see that the book of Revelation is written for us to warn us of Babylon, to warn us of Rome, to warn us of Caesar, and warn us of the Pope and Vatican City and Babylon. Vatican City that sits on seven hills. Vatican City, that city that represents wickedness, death, hell, and destruction, and colonialism, and slavery, and exploitation. We are given the warning to watch out for Rome and watch out for the wicked machinations of Rome. And this is going to be a theme for us, watching out for Rome. Now, you have, I believe, around the first, we'll say the first century, is it the first century AD? Yeah, I believe in the first century AD, you have the beginning of a couple of the Christian creeds of the European Christian churches, the European Gentile Christian churches. You have the Nicene Creed in the first century AD. And what we are now beginning to see is the coming separation of the African and Ethiopian and Eastern churches, Christian churches, from the West and Rome and Catholicism and the Western European churches. So this Nicene Creed, many of your Christian scholars give credence to the Nicene Creed as being that gathering that began to consolidate the belief system of Christianity. But what you really see is a hijacking of the authority of Christianity out of Africa and out of Ethiopia, and the disconnecting of the revolutionary message of Yahushua Christus from the revolutionary message. Disconnecting Jesus Christ and the message from its revolutionary origin. Meaning this, the purpose of Christ is to deliver the oppressed from the oppressor. The purpose of Christ is to raise you up into your divinity, your divine reality, as a god and a goddess, a child of the Most High. Well, when the Europeans take Christianity, they begin to disconnect Christianity as practiced by Europe from the African reality of divinity in human flesh and the African teaching of revolution and delivering the oppressed from the oppressor. The real message of Jesus the Christ, the real message of Yahushua Messiah. Then you have around the 3rd century AD, the Chalcedon Creed. I think the Nicene Creed is 3rd century AD because you have Constantine on the scene. Yeah, I believe the Nicene Creed, I'm coming off my mental, trying to put all this together as I was expanding this message. You can research the dates for yourself, but around the 4th century AD is Constantine and the Nicene Creed. And we know that Constantine began to call all the European scholars together, leaving out Africa, calling the European scholars together to craft. He's Rome. He's a Roman emperor. He wants to craft the message. He wants to co-opt Christianity. And like we said, disconnect Christianity from the revolutionary message. And it was Constantine who claimed to see the cross on the battlefield and began to propagate the idea of conquering in the name and in the name of Jesus and under the symbol of the cross. When in the African Hebrew language, the word cross is rooted in another African, that would be Greek, the Greek language, New Testament, but describing the actions of the African revolutionary. But in the Greek language, the word cross is rooted in another Greek word that has to do with taking a stand against the system, taking a stand against the puppet sellout Uncle Tom's, known as the high priests, Sadducees, scribes, and the Pharisees. Christ took a stand against the system, which is why Rome assassinated Yahushua. Yahushua took that stand against colonialism, slavery, and exploitation. But Constantine is a colonizer. He wants to colonize and kill and destroy. By this time, we've already had Christian emperors in Ethiopia for 300 and 400 years. You've already had Christian Ethiopian popes, the Ethiopian Orthodox Church, the Ethiopian Coptic Church, or the Coptic Church out of Egypt, uniting with the Ethiopian Orthodox Church, creating a synergy of leadership of bishops in Egypt and Ethiopia and popes in Ethiopia. But Constantine wants to conquer and kill and destroy and colonize. So Nicene Creed, that's what that enables. Now you have around the 6th century AD, 500 something AD, you have the Chalcedon Creed. By this time, there is open friction between Rome and Ethiopia. Now, at this Chalcedon Creed, Chalcedon meeting, you have the Ethiopian Pope attending, but you have the Roman Pope and the Roman authorities deposing the Ethiopian Pope and running him almost into exile, jailing him for a time, because Ethiopia is rebelling against Rome. Ethiopia is rebelling against the wicked politics of Rome. And so the Ethiopian Pope wasn't with Rome, was not with the Pope of Rome, was not with the Roman Emperor. And so the Ethiopian Pope, the Ethiopian African Pope, suffered. After a while, he was released, but the friction remained. The politics, the disputes over colonialism, slavery, and exploitation, having political difference with Rome and with how Rome wanted to administer Christianity. I'm sure within that construct is the teaching of the monophysitism of Ethiopia, which teaches that the humanity of Christ and the Christ spirit were not separate but absolutely one, which means that the human Yahushua is considered divine and one with the Christ spirit. That is absolute oneness with the creation as divine, and oneness with the creator and creatress as divine, all wrapped up into oneness with the divine self of I and I. And so that teaching of oneness of divinity, Rome didn't agree with that. Rome did not agree with that. Caesar, the Roman emperor, and the Pope did not agree with that. They teach separation between the human Yahushua and the divine self, or the human Yahushua and the divine Christ. They teach a separation between the divinity and the human. They teach a duality and a separation, but Africa teaches all as one. No separation, no separation, no division. So this played a part in the friction. So now you have the Roman church breaking off into that which is called Catholicism and Vatican City and Rome in the West. And then you have in the East, the African Ethiopian Orthodox Church and the Eastern Orthodox Church. You also have the church in Egypt hanging out with the East and breaking off from the West and Rome and Vatican City. Let's take our next break, and I will see you on the other side of the break.